Now tell us specifically, what is an afterlife encounter, Diane?
All right. An afterlife encounter is any sense of being connected to or in the presence of a discarnate personality. When I say any sense, it can be visual, it can be auditory. We may feel a cool breeze. We may reach out and feel a touch. Or it's just that sixth sense of knowing beyond a doubt that someone is there with us.
Now, when these events occur and people have these encounters, how many times is it conjured up by the individual, or it just simply happens?
That, in other words, you're wanting to know if they're internal or external?
Okay, I guess you could call it that.
Okay, as far as whether someone is conjuring up themselves or whether this is like an internal generated event, George, we don't really know scientifically, and perhaps it was generated by the person themselves, but then when they put the energy out, they connect with something greater and far beyond them. I mean, scientifically speaking, we don't know if we'll ever prove afterlife encounters are authentic and genuine and external. However, there's this huge, huge body of evidence that they certainly are.
Now, when you say we don't know if we're going to be able to prove it, is that because we just don't have any physical evidence to prove it?
It's because it seems that science is always going to find some type of alternative explanation for what could be other than a genuine account.
Explain that a little bit more for me.
All right. Well, for instance, in my book, one entire chapter is focused on afterlife encounters, the evidence. I listed six conditions whereby we consider this evidence for survival. Well, of the first three, the scientists will come out and they'll say, well, but those events already happened. And everything that's ever been happened, any words that's been said, any event that's ever occurred, is still out in the universe. So it's just a matter of someone tapping into that information that's out there. So I said, all right, so we're going to take this further then. We'll go into the future. What if an apparition can come and give us future information? So I've tried to address all of these other alternative explanations that scientists give us in that one chapter. But now I've done that, and they're saying, well, scratching their heads and saying, you know, we can't explain it, but they're looking.
Those people who generally believe in afterlife encounters, are they more spiritual than those people who don't believe in much, skeptics, for example?
That's another great question. And actually, I address that in the book, is that, well, for instance, there were people who took my surveys who didn't even believe in life after death at the time that they had encounters. They weren't longing for them. They didn't believe in them. They said, this just can't be. I don't even believe that there's anything after we physically die. But yet they had these afterlife encounters.
What are some of the things you asked in order to solicit people for the survey? I mean, what were you looking for?
I was looking for, did it affect their grief? There was one section that completely was focused on their grief. Did it affect it, and if so, for how long? We also looked at comfort. Did it bring them comfort, and to what extent? Had they ever had an afterlife encounter before? Were they bereaved? 8% of the people who took the survey were not bereaved. 82% said they had never longed for anything like that. And what I found interesting, that 28% of the survey respondents had nothing close to an afterlife encounter ever in their entire life. Yet they said they had an intense and extended longing. They just more than anything they wished they could. Now, 28% of the people had never had anything, but yet they longed for them. So we really tried to look at many facets of what exactly is going on here.
And, but some people don't like talking about the subject. It's a no-no to them. Why is that?
That's true. I'll tell you what, it is so taboo. For one thing, it's just basically fear of the unknown. And the media does not help with, like I mentioned earlier, most of their portrayals are fiction. The movies, the TVs, most of what we see, they may begin with just a little bit of a genuine account, but fear sells, so they blow it way up. So most of what the public knows about afterlife encounters is taught to them by the media.
Well, we see things like the Amityville Horror and other things like The Exorcist, and we are petrified of That's what's true. On the other side, right?
That's absolutely true. And I'll tell you, George, not any of my colleagues, nor I, have even one case of anything close to like we see, like the Amityville Horrors. There's we have no earthbound spirits. We have nothing trapped between worlds, no vengeful spirits, nothing even like what we see in the media. I have over 13,000 documented accounts in my files, and nothing like that.
Yet demons exist, don't they?
If I always say evil is of this world, simply because we probably, with my colleagues collectively, we probably have an easy well over 100,000 cases. And we don't have anything demonic. We don't have anything evil. Now, one of my colleagues, Bill Rowe, you may know Bill Rowe, is mm-hmm. well known. In fact, he's internationally known as Mr. Poltergeist. He came over here from Europe along with J.B. Ryan with the Ryan Research Center. Bill is in his 80s now, and he is Mr. Poltergeist. He is the expert in poltergeist. And he says in every case that he has gone in and studied, it goes back to usually as a teenager, she's usually female, and it's someone with some type of an emotional problem, something either a divorce in the family, they've moved, changed locations, but there's something going on that creates this energy, but it's all internally generated. It has nothing to do with anything outside of that teenager.
Well, now, what would you say to the exorcists with, let's say, the Catholic Church?
Again, it goes back to, well, if it helps the person, and we can think of it, say, as therapy, and it helps the person who says or that feels that she's possessed, then that's, it's a form of treatment. But as far as scientifically ever gathering any kind of data, I don't have any. My colleagues don't have any. I'm sure someone out there has information, or they have talked to someone, or they believe that person is possessed. But having worked in a psych hospital, there's multiple personality disorders. There's all sorts of disorders. Psychiatric evaluations tell us something is wrong. There's some type of emotional, cognitive, something going on with a person usually. Some type of issue.